Welcome back to The Truth About the Market, where we cut through the noise and talk about what's really happening in aviation. Not the hype, not the headlines, but the truth. I'm your host, Jason Zilberbrand. I'm president of VREF. I've appraised nearly every kind of aircraft for clients ranging from the FAA to private owners. I've also owned, operated, bought, and sold my own aircraft, so I bring real hands-on experience, not just theory. And just as important, this podcast is sponsor-free, with no advertisers or companies to appease, no incentive to soften the truth. What you hear is unfiltered. Aviation demands truth, and the market punishes misinformation. And today, we're going to talk about one of the most persistent myths in aircraft transactions. It shows up in listings, broker conversations, and even in buyer expectations long before the first pre-buy inspection ever begins. Three words that buyers seem to love: low total time. On the surface, that sounds like the perfect airplane. The logic seems straightforward. If an aircraft hasn't flown much, the thinking goes, the airframe must be in better condition. The engine must have less wear. The systems must have experienced fewer cycles. In other words, fewer hours should mean fewer problems. But here's the truth. Aviation doesn't work that way. Aircraft are mechanical systems designed to operate regularly. They're built to fly, to circulate oil, to heat up and cool down, and to keep seals and bearings and internal components moving. When that rhythm stops for long periods of time, the effects can quietly pile up. Over time, inactivity brings its own set of mechanical problems: corrosion, worn-out seals, stagnant fluids, and systems that just haven't been exercised. That's why some of the lowest time aircraft in the market can carry risks that aren't immediately visible in the logbooks or on a listing sheet. The industry even has a nickname for them: the Hangar Queen. And today, we're going to unpack why low time aircraft can sometimes create mechanical surprises, valuation distortions, and unexpected financial exposure for buyers. So let's talk about why airplanes are built to fly, because they're not museum pieces, they're machines, right? And machines are designed to operate regularly. So it seems obvious. Engines require heat cycles to move oil through internal passages and maintain that lubrication on critical components. And the seals, they depend on fluid contact and movement to remain flexible. And fuel systems benefit from circulation that prevents moisture accumulation. And that keeps lines and components functioning as intended, because hydraulic systems rely on pressure cycles, and the movement to keep those internal parts properly conditioned is also required. So if you think about it, when an aircraft flies consistently, those systems remain active, they remain stable, the temperatures rise and fall in very predictable patterns, and the lubricants move where they're supposed to move, because components expand and contract as they were designed to. So regular operation keeps the aircraft in what we like to call mechanical rhythm. But when an aircraft sits for long periods of time, everything stops, including the music. So the absence of music of movement introduces a different type of deterioration, one that is often very much slower. It's quiet. Sometimes it just sneaks up and it's a silent killer. Corrosion. Things are much harder to detect during a basic review of the records, because instead of operational wear from use, the aircraft begins to experience the effects of inactivity. And that's what happens when the lubricants settle and they aren't moved. And then moisture seems to accumulate, and the internal surfaces that normally remain coated with those protective oil films, they dry out, or they oxidize, or even worse, they corrode. And so those components designed to move regularly, they remain static for months, years, decades. That's not wear from flying, it's deterioration caused from sitting. And that's where the real risk starts in low-time aircraft. This episode is powered by VREF, the trusted name in aircraft valuations and appraisals. Whether you fly a piston single or manage a business jet fleet, VREF keeps you grounded in data that matters. So visit VREF.com to know what your aircraft is truly worth before you buy, sell, finance, or insure. Okay, so when an aircraft remains inactive for extended periods, we know those mechanical conditions begin to change. And from my experience, it's not in ways that are obvious from the outside, because one of the most significant concerns involves what happens inside the engine. After a shutdown, lubricating oil slowly settles away from many of the internal components. Surfaces that normally remain coated with that protective film, such as cams and bearings and cylinder walls, and valve train parts, they gradually lose that protection because gravity pulls the oil back into the sump. And once that protective layer thins or disappears completely, the metal surfaces become more vulnerable to the environment inside the engine case. So even under controlled storage conditions, small amounts of moisture can and do enter the system due to normal temperature fluctuations. Because as air inside the engine warms and cools, condensation can form on exposed metal surfaces. And over time, this moisture can begin creating microscopic corrosion on parts that are otherwise protected during normal operation. The process often develops slowly, without any warning signs. And from the outside, the aircraft may appear perfectly preserved. Logbooks may show relatively low use, low hours since overhaul, and the airplane may even present well cosmetically. But internal components that have sat still for long stretches may have already been showing surface deterioration and corrosion that cannot be seen without deeper inspection. The first indication sometimes appears only after the aircraft returns to regular operation. Once the engine begins operating again and flying again, and those internal parts that have developed corrosion or pitting are suddenly placed back under load, problems start to appear. And this is why mechanics often repeat a simple observation throughout the industry. Engines prefer regular use. You've heard it before. It's not a myth. It's not a wives tale. Low time does not automatically translate to lower risk. In some situations, limited operation over many years can introduce mechanical conditions that create their own set of challenges once the aircraft does return to service. So let's talk about the engine corrosion problem, because this is the big one, folks. Engine corrosion is not a theoretical concern discussed only in maintenance seminars. In fact, it is a real documented issue that regularly occurs in aircraft that have spent long periods of very little flight activity. Inside a piston engine, numerous metal components rely on those thin layers of oil. But when the aircraft is operated frequently, those surfaces remain coated. However, the internal parts continue moving through their normal mechanical cycles. And when you start having that temperature rise and fall, and then you have moisture evaporate and condensate, it's when that activity stops that the internal environment changes. And so what happens is that moisture gets trapped inside the engine, particularly when it's stored in regions with seasonal humidity or wide temperature swings. That's why you always hear people like to buy stuff out of the desert where it's dry. Because without regular heat cycles to drive that moisture out, condensation may linger on internal metal surfaces forever. And the only way you're ever going to find out about it is if you borescope those motors. So over time, that moisture begins reacting with the exposed metal. And this is really important. And you're going to notice that people also tend to say things aren't made the way they used to. And so that's because people have gotten bad batches of metal, and they've seen premature pitting and corrosion on exposed surfaces that old engine and crankcases did not have. So let's talk about the first stages, because the first stages may involve very small corrosion points that aren't detectable during routine operation. Bearings, camshafts, lifters, cylinder walls, they slowly develop microscopic pitting. And these conditions often progress silently. Again, it's a silent killer, folks, because the aircraft may still start. It still idles. It still runs normal. It's still going to make a decent compression. But from a logbook standpoint, you know, the engine looks healthy. The hours since overhaul are low, and there's no obvious indications of any mechanical distress. The problem only becomes apparent after the aircraft starts to fly normally and returns to service. So you take that hangar queen now, and all of a sudden you start flying it normally, and it's been sitting for decades. So once those power settings increase and internal loads rise, the surfaces that have developed corrosion, they deteriorate rapidly. In some cases, the metal contamination appears in the oil system or compression readings, and those compression readings start going down. That's why we always tell people, do soap tests, right? Test the oil. Send it out to Blackstone every month. Have them test it for you and tell you what's going on with your engine. Ironically, flying only a few dozen hours yearly can actually worsen the engine corrosion. Paradoxically, aircraft flying 200 to 300 hours annually often incur fewer engine surprises than those that rarely leave the hangar. So you got to keep in mind that the calendar is still going, guys. You know, and that's another big misconception that buyers frequently overlook involving how maintenance limits are structured. Not every aircraft component is governed by flight hours. Many parts and systems operate under calendar-based limits, meaning they have to be inspected, they have to be replaced, or overhauled after a specified number of years, regardless of how little the aircraft is flown. That Hangar Queen that's been sitting for 25 years without an engine overhaul, guess what? It's long overdue. And this catches many low-time aircraft buyers by surprise. Even if an airplane has accumulated relatively few hours, time itself continues to affect materials and the seals and the structural components. So let's talk about a common example. Landing gear overhaul intervals, propeller overhauls, flexible hoses and rubber seals, they're everywhere throughout the aircraft. That stuff turns to dust. Then you have magneto inspections. There's a ton of engine accessory components, and those things deteriorate with age and exposure and the same environmental conditions, not just operational use. Low utilization might hide costly age-driven maintenance. And for buyers who focus only on total time, those expenses can appear suddenly after purchase. This reality also affects how lenders evaluate aircraft transactions. And this is really important. And this is probably the biggest thing you need to take from this podcast today. When a bank reviews collateral, it's not just looking at flight hours. Financial institutions examine the aircraft's maintenance status, folks, including upcoming calendar-driven inspections and overhauls. And if several major items are approaching their calendar limits, or worse yet, have gone way beyond them, lenders are going to adjust the loan terms. They may require additional reserves. They may even require you to overhaul the engine, or they may just change how much they're willing to finance to protect the downside risk. And in some cases, an aircraft with moderate utilization but a strong maintenance position may present a lower financing risk than a low-time aircraft facing multiple calendar-driven expenses. Low utilization does not eliminate these obligations. It only delays the moment when they must eventually be addressed. You know, from a valuation standpoint, aircraft that have been inactive for long periods of time pose analytical challenges as well, because at first glance, they appear really appealing. Listings often highlight low time as a positive attribute because buyers tend to make assumptions and comparisons to other asset classes. And a low time car is always going to be thought of as a mint condition vehicle. It's not the same with an aircraft. You know, buyers reviewing specs may initially interpret the aircraft as a better preserved example because of it. But experienced market participants tend to look beyond the hours. Instead of focusing only on total time, they begin evaluating the aircraft's operational history and maintenance continuity. Questions naturally emerge during the due diligence process. Why was the aircraft flown so infrequently? Was the aircraft stored in a controlled environment, or was it exposed to varying climate conditions? And for how long? Were preservation procedures performed during extended inactivity? Were engines properly put into short-term or long-term storage procedures? Were systems exercised periodically to maintain functionality? Did routine inspections continue on schedule even when utilization remained low? When clear answers exist, those concerns can often be addressed. Documentation showing proper storage or preservation procedures and disciplined maintenance practices can provide reassurance to buyers and lenders. However, when those records are incomplete or unclear, uncertainty enters the transaction. Uncertainty affects more than buyer confidence. It also influences underwriting decisions and appraisal conclusions. And aircraft values depend not only on specs and hours, but also on perceived mechanical risk and the reliability of the aircraft's maintenance history. When questions remain unanswered, the market typically responds in a very predictable way. Risk becomes reflected in price. In capital markets, ambiguity rarely receives the benefit of doubt. Instead, it tends to produce valuation adjustments designed to compensate the next owner for the possibility of unknown mechanical exposure. You know, in practice, the aircraft market does not place a premium on inactivity. While low total time may attract initial attention in a listing, experienced buyers often evaluate a different set of indicators when assessing risk. Aircraft that have been flown consistently and maintained on schedule tend to provide a clearer operational picture. Regular utilization tells a story. It shows that the engines have been operating through normal temperature cycles. Systems have been used in an environment for which they were designed for. The electrical components and avionics and hydraulic systems and environmental controls have all been functioning under real conditions rather than sitting idle for extended periods of time. Maintenance records from these aircraft often reflect that reality. Inspections are routine. Discrepancies are identified during normal operations, and corrective work is performed as issues arise. Over time, the aircraft mechanical condition becomes well understood because it has been in service, active service. This operational transparency often builds confidence for buyers and lenders. In contrast, think about it. An aircraft that has spent long stretches of time inactive may present a completely different profile. Even when the exterior condition appears to be in excellent or pristine condition, the operational history may contain large gaps where systems were not only not exercised but completely ignored, and mechanical components remain completely unused. Those gaps introduce uncertainty during the evaluation process, or at least they should to you, because potential buyers begin considering what may not be visible, systems that have not been operated regularly. You know, if you ask any business jet buyer, the worst time to own an aircraft, it's when it's brand new, because you're working out all of these squawks. And if a brand new aircraft has those types of issues, what do you think one is going to have that's been sitting for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? In some cases, I've seen aircraft that have been sitting for 40 years trying to be returned to service because someone thinks it's a smoking deal. You know, because of this, aircraft demonstrate consistent use and maintenance, often trade more smoothly in the market. I can show you it's a fact. Unknown mechanical exposure by comparison not only will reduce buyer confidence, but it's going to influence how the transactions are ultimately priced. In many of those transactions, buyers will discount an aircraft that has been sitting because they anticipate deferred maintenance arising after the first year of operation, if not sooner. If you're tired of guessing aircraft values, try VREF Online. Real-time data, quarterly updates, and over 900 models at your fingertips. From residual value forecasts to depreciation trends, it's a platform trusted by every lender, insurance company, and broker worldwide. Subscribe today at VREF.com and start making decisions based on facts, not feelings. So let's talk about when low time is good, because it's important to recognize that not every aircraft for low utilization should be viewed with concern or scrutiny. Well, I guess you should scrutinize it, but maybe not be so overly concerned. Because some low-time aircraft are maintained to exceptionally high standards. Owners may operate the aircraft periodically throughout the year, ensuring that engines reach proper operating temperatures and that systems continue to function as designed, even if the aircraft does not accumulate a ton of flight hours annually. It may still be exercised frequently enough to maintain mechanical airworthiness. In addition, some owners follow structured preservation practices during periods when the aircraft will not be used for an extended period of time. Engines may be removed from service in accordance with manufacturer's procedures. Environmental controls such as humidity management may be used during storage. Maintenance inspections continue on schedule even when flight activity is minimal. When those practices are consistently followed and well documented, lower utilization does not automatically translate into increased mechanical risk. In fact, certainly privately owned aircraft can remain in very good condition precisely because they are operated carefully and maintained with attention to detail, and those systems are monitored, and the discrepancies are addressed promptly, nothing's deferred, and the aircraft may benefit from owners who invest significantly in preventative maintenance. The key variable in these cases is not the number of hours that the aircraft is accumulating. The determining factor is the quality and consistency of the maintenance program behind the aircraft. Well-documented care, proper storage procedures, and disciplined inspection practices can keep an aircraft of modest annual utilization a reliable asset. Without those practices, however, a low-time aircraft alone provides little insight into the airplane's true mechanical condition. And that is what we call a hangar queen. The aviation marketplace often gravitates towards simple metrics, total time, engine hours since overhaul, landing cycles. These numbers are easy to read, compare, and include in a listing or a specification sheet Because of that simplicity, they frequently become the first indicators buyers focus on when evaluating an aircraft. But aircraft condition rarely conforms to a single number. An airframe with modest utilization may appear attractive on a summary sheet, yet the aircraft's true condition depends on a much broader set of factors: storage conditions, maintenance continuity, operational history, and the quality of inspections over time all play a significant role in determining how an aircraft will perform for its next owner. Aircraft that operate regularly often develop a transparent maintenance record. Systems that have been used under normal conditions, discrepancies surface during normal routine operation, and corrective actions are taken as part of ongoing maintenance programs. Over time, that pattern provides a clearer understanding of how the aircraft behaves in service. In contrast, aircraft that spend extended periods inactive may leave more questions unanswered. Systems may not have been exercised regularly. Components may not have undergone normal operating cycles. And the maintenance history may include long intervals during which the aircraft was simply stored rather than operated. For buyers, evaluating risk, those differences matter. Sometimes the aircraft that flew consistently throughout the year proves to be the most predictable asset in the fleet, and occasionally, the one that accumulated very few hours in the aircraft requiring the most careful scrutiny, because airplanes were never engineered to remain idle and sit. They were, after all, engineered to fly. If you're evaluating an aircraft purchase, remember one simple principle. Low hours alone do not define value. Total time can provide useful context, but it tells only a small part of the story. What matters far more is how the aircraft has been cared for throughout its life. The maintenance discipline, the operational consistency, the storage practices, the environment it lived in, and the overall condition of its critical systems ultimately determine the reliability and financial exposure attached to any aircraft asset. When buyers focus solely on the hour, they risk overlooking the aircraft's operational history, which truly defines its condition. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone who's considering an aircraft purchase or evaluating an aircraft purchase, because this podcast exists for one reason: to analyze aircraft as capital assets without brokerage spin and without manufacturer narrative. And remember, when you need accurate, defensible, and data-driven aircraft values, there's only one name in the industry to trust, and that's VREF. Visit VREF.com to get started today. I want to thank you for listening. I'm Jason Zilberbrand, and this is The Truth About the Market. Until next time, fly safe and stay smart.